Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hayden, and I am the publisher of Natural Nutmeg Magazine, Essential Living Maine Magazine, and a series of book collaborations. Our most recent one, which is entitled Essential Healing for the Spirit and Soul. And I am super excited about this book collaboration because it is a group of authors that we've brought together who are coming really from all walks of life and talking about their journey to how they became a healer and spiritual practitioner. So all different types of individuals that are practicing really amazing modalities from a spiritual perspective, and they talk basically about their journey, how they went down that path, and hopefully it will help a lot of people who may be considering becoming a spiritual healer, or even people that are just looking for some alternative method to treat a particular issue that they might have. So we're really excited about it, and I'm excited today to have on the phone with me one of the authors, Dorinda Gay. She describes herself as an energy intuitive whose inner voice, along with spirits, guides her clearly to live and love deeply on this planet. She maintains an active private practice in Croton on Hudson, New York, and serves as an energy and space clearing consultant to homes and businesses across the country. She is building an energy teaching program to assist others in bringing forth their own healing gifts, exploring the mysterious wonder of Earth, drives her to lead journeys in magical Sedona. She considers joy, connection, and play vital to living well, and she is the founder of From the Universe to You. So welcome, Dorinda. Thanks so much for being on the call with us today.
Thank you, Diane.
Awesome. Yeah, so like I said, this is like the most fun part for me is to get to talk to each of the authors and to do these calls and to have each of you, tell a little bit more about your journey and, the chapter that you wrote and how you basically went down this path of becoming a healer, if there were any life events that prompted it, and really how you decided it was what you wanted to do.
Well, I was lucky enough to be a professional musician in New York City, something that a lot of people want, and yet I found myself in the middle of it. And then I also found myself not happy in it because I absolutely adore music. And at that time in my life, I realized that this was something I was very passionate about, and yet it wasn't feeding me from a soul or a heart level. And I did this amazing job one day, this amazing cathedral on the Upper East Side, and I realized as I looked around, understand that I was not connected to the energy world. I didn't really understand the bigger picture from a conscious view. And I was like, something else is out there. I don't know what it is, but I thought this was all I wanted, was to be a professional musician in New York City. And all of a sudden, it's feeling emptier than I thought it would be. And within the next 6 months, a momentous life event happened, that my brother passed unexpectedly. And this just opened up a whole series of life events that I just kept asking, there has to be something else. What is it? And as I wrote in my chapter, be careful of what you ask for. When you ask for something like, what? What is it? All of a sudden, the universe answers with, well, here you go. And so as you read the chapter, you'll know a little bit more about that. But the bottom line is, what happens to us in life, and what I've seen in the last 12 years more as a professional practitioner, when we have these big life events, sometimes they're very much, they can be individual or collective, but they open our hearts, because when there's big grief of losing someone, or if someone's having a personal illness, or big challenges in life, it's to open that person up to the fact that life is bigger. And it's not necessarily easier, but it's bigger. And you connect that space at soul level. And that is what opened me up to really just say, wow, what is going on here? I should be so happy in this amazing life that I have teaching and playing and freelancing in New York City, and I'm not happy. I thought this is what I wanted. The universe went, no, we have a plan for you. So I would say that's a pretty momentous opening. A lot more stories on that, but just that opening really started me questioning. And I think questioning is one of the most profound things we can have in life is to just never settle, but just question if something doesn't feel right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you made two really excellent points, and that's that there are so many people that are in either a career, a job, a relationship, it's even like in health or your physical body that are unhappy. And
yeah,
a lot of us don't question why. We kind of just, either because of society or our family or whatever, we kind of get stuck in this, well, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what is expected of me. But
yeah,
I'm not happy. And it takes a lot of courage to do what you did. And it's funny because I think almost every other author that I've interviewed so far, and I'm about halfway through the whole group, almost everybody has said the exact same thing. I was doing what I thought I wanted to do, and I just, you know, woke up one day and just realized I was so unhappy. And I, you know, like that kind of sent me down this path of trying to figure out why and what,
exactly,
you know, what can I do about it?
Yep. I so embrace that, you know, really life is about experiencing, and it's experiencing every emotion, you know, every, having an experience with other people, with yourself, with the earth, with our planet. And when we stay in places that keep us sort of numb or in the same, we don't open ourselves up to have that amazing experience of just going deeper in and allowing ourselves to have joy, sadness, grief, the whole deal. So we're not being fully human. And being fully human, you know, people may be like, well, being spiritual, I'm like, it's just being fully human. It's trusting that you're going to be okay at some level.
Right.
It's not being dangerous or being imbalanced, but it is just letting yourself keep asking, wait, then what, something doesn't feel full or something doesn't feel right here. And just keep moving through that in life. Even in our own businesses, as healers or professionals of whatever you do, it's just saying, wait, this can't stay stagnant. It has to move. It has to envelop. It has to develop. It has to grow and expand and shift. Still be stable, but always moving. Energy never stops moving, so we don't ever want to keep it stagnant.
Right. And if you try to, the universe will fix that for you. I've seen that happen many times, too.
Hello, hello, you're being stagnant. That's not what you signed up for.
Exactly, which is kind of funny. And, you know, most people probably would say they didn't want to go through it or it was very unpleasant or whatever, but, you know, everybody, I think, would say on the other side of it that it was one of the best things that happened.
Absolutely. It's not easy. I say to people all the time, you know, following your own gut and your own heart is not the easiest thing in the world to do, but it is so worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so worth it. And that sounds like empty words, one of my favorite phrases, no offense, but a Hallmark card. But it's like, the bottom line is, until you have that experience, where you connect with that moment on the earth or in a special place on the earth or with a special someone or with yourself being a special someone in a moment, then you get it. And until you get it and have that experience, I can't really put that into words for you. And so it's really just knowing that when you feel full in a moment, and then you keep building life to create that moment and create it over and over as much as you can, while still being a viable, tangible, grounded human being. The whole deal. That's being spiritual. That's being energetic.
Right.
That's just what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So you went from a pretty traditional career to what many people would say a pretty non-traditional career. And I think that there's a lot of people that would love to make that leap, but they're afraid or they don't have support from their family or there's a lot of like judgment or whatever. So what would you say, how do you think that you were able to do that? And, you know, you may have had support from your family. I'm not sure, but I'm sure that there were some times where you were fearful or questioning or whatever. And what advice would you give people to kind of get through that?
Okay.
I have been blessed with a lot of support from community and family, and not a moment of a day goes by without me acknowledging that. I've also met a lot of people going on really lonely journeys, and to me, they are a lot of the heroes of the world, where they just really, they just are looking for, hey, am I doing the right thing? And as hard as it is, it is truly finding the space and stillness. This is for just being a human being on this planet to do whatever you're here or drawn to do, or if you want to be a healer. A little asterisk here, again, this Dapper is a healer to me, as downloaded with spirit, is if you are bringing your gifts, and those gifts are bringing joy to other beings on this planet, you are a healer. So if you are baking chocolate chip cookies on a daily basis, and they are bringing people joy in a moment, in creating a present moment, just eating that cookie, that is healing somebody, bringing them balance in a moment to be present. And so here has a very, very large expanse of definition. But the bottom line is, for anyone just wanting to deepen their own experience as a human or deepen their learning as a healer, is to truly just learn to trust that what you feel is right and true for you. And it is the hardest, most challenging path on the planet. In a way, even the support and the abundance of community that I have had, it is amazing to have that. Hey, yeah, go! But then when it comes down to it, I'm still the person writing the original words or presenting the original ideas and saying, no, this is what I feel, this is what I do, and I know it's real. And in that space of energy, when things start to come to you, they're not logical or make sense in the 3D world. And so you really do have to just keep working on and trusting that what you feel, see, sense is true for you. And a great way to do that is start that intuitive voice kind of awakening inside you, because that is truly the one true north you have in life. Because we have so much distraction, you know, around us with technology and media and all that. And all those are good things in balance. But the one true north for everybody is what you feel on the inside. And so a couple of ways you can just really hone that is to just hold, like pick up a piece of fruit in your hand. Pick up a banana or pick up an orange and ask your body, do I like the banana or do I like the orange? And see if your body goes forward or backwards. Let your body start to tell you what feels right and what feels good, just in very simple things every day. Or ask yourself a question that you already know the answer to, like, is the sky blue? And you go, yes, of course the sky is blue. That's a knowing. That's a collective knowing that isn't a personal feeling. With the banana or the orange, you start to own that personal feeling of what do I prefer. With the sky is blue is an accepted or collective knowing. And this way you begin to sense like how your body tells you what's true for you. And knowing what is true for you is true north in your life. And it's great to get, you know, input or advice from the people you trust, the sacred spaces in your life. And there are many people I know that are just like, I'm doing this alone. And so it's you in spirit, and you just hone that sense of what feels right and true for you. The number one thing that will get you to the next level.
Yeah, I think that's a great, great point. And also that will help people to be more in tune with their body, because I think a lot of people they're living from like the neck up.
Yeah, and that's a whole other interview we can do.
Yes, that is, exactly. Yep. But just that little exercise that you just described is perfect for people to just kind of get more in touch with how their body feels and, you know, and just learning and sort of experiencing that, you know, they have intuition and they do have this inner sense of knowing and they just need to tap into that. And that's not going to come from your head.
Nope. It's going to come from your whole body and your heart is your generator, and it will lead you well combined with your head.
Right.
Integrated with your head. That amazing brain waves that we have by then with a heart energy, and you're good to go.
Yeah, definitely. So you combine a lot of different modalities in your practice, and I just want people to, you know, hear from you a little bit. What it would, you know, what it's like if I'm coming to you as a client, and really you can talk about anything because I know you, just, you know, you work with people on a spiritual level. You also work with buildings and places and structures and things like that. So, and I'm sure it's a combination of things as well. But if you could just give us like a little bit of an overview of what you do in your practice.
Okay. When, I'm going to start with the people as opposed to the buildings that I wrote about. But when somebody comes into my office, either through personally, you know, in person in my office or on the phone, most importantly to me as a practitioner is to meet them where they are. And so many people ask me, well, why don't you advertise past life or space clearing or this or that? And I said, because the universe has brought me a set of tools that can truly meet a person where they are. And what I mean by that is when you can witness to somebody in the first 10 or 15 minutes, hey, I see you, I hear you. It doesn't matter to me whether you're saying, I'm having trouble because I have a 12-year marriage and I'm thinking about having an affair, or I feel like, you know, I have this other world happening in my house and I think I'm crazy because I'm feeling and seeing things that aren't real to me. Either way, I can say to you, yeah, I get it. I totally get it, and this is how we can help it. And so it is really seeing the person where they are and not trying to put somebody in the category of, oh, you have to be past life, you have to be this, you have to be that. It is seeing them as a person that says, I'm having energy imbalance big time. How do we fix it? And so that's a really important element that comes into my practice in a session. And so during the session, depending on guidance and depending on the person, meeting them where they are, I am not a psychic, so I don't necessarily see forecasts. I don't see future. What I do see, when we start to open up together in this space, they're in their space, I'm in mine, I will start to see images. I will start to see colors or patterns. If it's a past life, I will actually start to see scenes coming up, and that lets me know, oh, hey, we're dealing with a past life here. And so as I take in all that information, then guidance says, okay, now we're going to watch how their physical body here and now, their human being, what are they ready to bring through and heal right now? So if someone isn't ready to deal with a past life, or that's too much, I'm like, okay, I'm more concerned about how do we help you feel better right here, right now, from an energy point. How do we help you release? So we can release a half a day of stress, or we can release 3,000 years of imbalance, or we can release things in between. But it is really going in the moment, present moment, with guidance, according to what the person, their soul, that whole moment is asking for in that moment. And so I don't like to quantify with a certain modality because to me that limits. Many people do amazing modalities. My view on modalities is the right modality at the right time with the right practitioner is the absolute right thing. And with me, if you're getting drawn into my office, there's a reason. And so I trust that that right modality with the right person at the right time is coming through. And I just want to do beautiful things for people that just lift. You can lift thousands of years, or you can lift a half a day. And so it's really just meeting them where they are and validating that what you feel and see, especially as intuitive beings opening to the world, it's bigger, that they're okay. That they're okay. Because I think a lot of people out there are feeling and seeing things and maybe shutting them down because they're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, you're fine. You just need to learn how to deal and balance it and integrate it in life.
Right, exactly.
So, and no session, no two sessions are the same.
Yeah, well, that's the way it should be. I mean, honestly, with anything, you know, probably the best analogy I could come up with for that is like health and fitness. I mean, nobody, there's no one-size-fits-all
prescription for people for weight loss or exercise, and there shouldn't be. It really depends on, you know, a physiological standpoint, a mental standpoint, what your likes are, your dislikes are, what your body is biomechanically made up to do or not do, and it should really all be customized.
Yep, bingo. Right on point. Right on point.
Definitely.
Yep.
Great. So then, as far as working with buildings, do you want to tell us a little bit about how that works?
Okay. You know, it's kind of more of a wilder subject, but we'll go with it. And if you were reading the book and read the chapter, that really is the absolute truth that I wrote, which is, when I opened up to this, really, I felt like I was on a different, someone had plugged me into a different treadmill and I was just going on it.
Yeah.
That was the universe. And I started to really begin to sense this ability to cross people over. When I moved into my present house in 2002, I walked down into my basement. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just barely open after this. And I walked into my basement, and these two Revolutionary War soldiers, obviously spirits, came at me with bayonets. And I went, whoa, you and you, do not belong here. And I went, with my hands, and they disappeared. And I went, whoa, what just happened here? Now, if you hear this story, you go, oh my God, who is this person? But if you meet me, I'm a 5'2" stocky woman in hiking boots and jeans. I'm pretty grounded. I'm pretty much here on the planet. And so when this happened, I went, whoa, first of all, I wasn't scared. What was that about? Second of all, when I said no, they just disappeared. And so I went, okay, that's interesting. And so, long story short, through the course of events, these other events kept sort of simultaneously happening. And so I was like, okay. And then I, as you will read in the chapter, I went out to do my first round of official learning to do this work, and I sort of got redirected on these roads. And then my first professional space clearing wasn't down the road, but was in India. So I started to describe exactly what was there in India, and I'm on the other end of the phone going, oh my God, hyperventilating. But the bottom line is, the universe is basically saying, you have this. You see buildings, you sense souls that need to be crossed over, and you sense the structure of a building. So what happens is I literally see a hologram, what someone calls for space clearing, I literally see a hologram or an x-ray of the building as it is. And then I'll see the history in the building, and I'll see spirits connected to the building on one level. And on the other level, I will see the real 3D world, not that this other world isn't real, but the 3D world, physical world happening among that. And when I see the two worlds working together, I'm like, well, no wonder the 3D world or the residents of that building or the office can't move forward because they've got all this history or energy, spirits pulling or draining the basically life force or chi of the building. And so, as very intuitive beings, when we cannot feel that clarity or chi or flow in our work or our home life, we can feel just completely discombobulated and just, you know, sensing something's not right. When people go, what should I look for? I say, there's no big thing to look for. If you're in a house or an office and you're like, something is just not right, trust that. So then you call somebody like myself who goes, yeah, well, you see, you've got this whole Victorian theme going on under your house. And that can't be good for sleeping at night. And so literally what happens, and again, long story short, is the universe and I work together, and we bring this beautiful light that comes in to reground the home, clear what has been there, encompass it in life, spirits, scenes, old history, whatever it is. I'm really oversimplifying it, but this is basically what happens over about 10 days or 2 weeks. And then from the earth inside, we bring in that new present light to support the property, the office, the home, whatever it is. And so people can actually live in present time. That calms down their bodies, their hearts, their minds, everything. And so it is an interesting gift, so to speak, but I can see when I look at a building or a land, I can see what has been and what is still there,
but also what the present part of land is asking to be. And we bring those two worlds together so that people can live here and now. But always, when I say to people, in clear spirit, it's always done from a place of grace, of love. It is just such a beautiful, such a beautiful process to watch and be a part of. To watch history get lovingly cleared and blessed as it goes, so that we can bless the land and the people and there now, so that they can live. Because being in the physical always trumps someone in spirit. You want to hear them in spirit, acknowledge them in spirit, but if you're in a physical body, it's sort of like squatter's rights. You didn't have that space.
Yeah. Well, I know definitely that I've had experiences where I've walked into, like, a building or probably the ones that stick out the most in my mind is when I've been looking at places to live, like different either houses or apartment buildings or, you know, whatever, where I've walked in and been kind of just walking around looking at it from, you know, the perspective of do I want to live here, rent this place or whatever. And absolutely, I have definitely had good feelings or bad feelings about a particular place, or even sometimes just, maybe not, it's not even a bad feeling, it's just like, this just doesn't feel right. I don't know why. I don't, you know, and I don't think it's really like the size of the place or the shape of the rooms or whatever. Well, maybe it is that, but it's just that there's some other kind of energy that's in there that is, you know, just not feeling right. I'm sure everybody has had experiences like that, and whether they chalk it up to, you know, they just don't like the aesthetics of the place, or, you know, they look a little bit deeper and it's more of an energetic thing. We've all definitely had that. And it's fascinating to me. But I think, you know, you need to pay attention. And definitely the times when I haven't listened to that place has never worked out. Like, I've either not been there long or, you know, or for whatever reason, you know. I don't know, things weren't going well in my life while I was in that dwelling or whatever, but, you got to pay attention.
We tried to tell you not to be there, but okay, you
Insisted.
So we allowed it, but, you know, we knew it wasn't going to work out that great.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about, you know, advice that you would give for people who are, you know, looking to move into this as a potential new career or maybe even doing it part-time. What are some things that you think you've done that have made your practice successful, and what advice would you give people that are considering going into the area of spiritual practice?
Let me think about this, but I think my answer is going to be a lot of the same. I've just really followed, not without bumps and roller coasters, but I really followed what feels right. I'm a very creative person, so I love to cook. You know, I'm a musician, as we know. I'm creative. So I am bringing a lot of that creativity to the business itself, and I'm just starting to really open that up. But in terms of current success, and it is, I have to like receive that because I really do feel blessed to have a business that really is self-sustaining in this world. And it is a blessing. And it's work, but it is a blessing. It's really staying integral and aligned with what you feel is right for you. And that's a little bit different. It's the same and it's different. When you're of service to other people in forms of business, there's all sorts of other things to consider. The balance of money, the balance of energy, the balance of time, all of that. And so probably the most clear guidance that I can offer for people is to lovingly set your boundaries. Because when you lovingly set boundaries with your time, your money, your energy, you can give 190% to someone. And you can even give a little bit extra when it's needed. But if we give, then we burn out. And I remember when I was going to my short amount of formal school for this,
I remember actually being a little cocky in the back and going, and I'm listening to this very, very wise man. He said, you know, if you're going to go into this, you're going to have burnout. And I thought, no, I'm never going to burn out. I'm never going to burn out. And now I laugh. I'm here 12 years later. Because officially, I've probably burned out 2 or 3 times. And I've had to go, Jolinda, you burned out. You're not in integrity anymore. People may notice it at the edges, but you on the inside feel it burning. And you can't do that for yourself. And so I go back and I go, where did I let down on my own alignment, my own balance, my own love for myself and other people? Where did I let this get overlapped so that it got messy? And I will go back to drawing, not completely to the drawing board, but I'll say, I got to reset this. I got to redo this. I got to reground this so that I don't burn out. And so I would say that to someone doing this work, because we are energy beings first and foremost, we are going to get tired. We are more sensitive. Everyone on the earth is an energy intuitive being. It's a matter of how much you want to open it up, or how much the universe goes, hey, you, that's just
right.
What you signed up for. By the way.
Yep.
And so you have to learn how to calibrate that sensitivity and that awareness with your own business and not give too much. So that at the end of the day, at the end of a week, you can sit down in a space of stillness, which is, to me, stillness is the number one antidote that can heal each one of us, and basically across the world. Because if we can just step away into stillness, then we reconnect to earth and sky, and we get that nurturing back. And so sometimes we just have to get back into more stillness to recalibrate, realign, get back into our integrity. And integrity is kind of a heavy word. I don't mean it like, oh, I gotta be. No, it's just what you feel is right. And if you don't feel what's right and you keep doing it, just like we said at the very beginning of this interview, you know, if you're in a job that's not feeling right, you gotta question it. And so even in this job, because your energy, you're constantly giving off energy and sending energy, you gotta make sure there's plenty for you at the end of the day and at the end of the week. And keep rejuvenating with that, with that joy, with the stillness, with life, to keep that balance. And that is so, so vitally important. Because if we don't have our heart open and pumping chi and flow and energy, and our heads are just feeling the work, to me, that would terrify me. And I'm going to say that word. It would terrify me to do my job that way.
Yeah.
It would terrify me to go out there and do my job that way.
I think that's a really great point, and actually, I'm really glad you brought that up, because it hasn't come up with any of the other authors that I've done these calls yet with, and I think that it's something that everybody needs to be aware of, really in any profession. I can see you sitting in the class thinking that, like, I'm never going to burn out. I mean, I felt that way, too, about a job that I've loved, that I eventually did. And I think it happens to everyone. And even as passionate as you can be about something, there will come a time where you, like you said, you just didn't stay in balance, and you ended up consuming yourself with the work, and then all of a sudden there's nothing left for you. You know, it's kind of like the whole airline analogy. You got to put the, you know, oxygen mask on yourself first before you can help somebody else. It's
totally.
It's so important. And I don't think it's something that people discuss much or think about much, because everybody feels like, oh, you're doing your passion. You could do it forever. Like, you know, you don't need balance. You don't need to take time for yourself. You're doing something you love. But you do. I mean, because it's just, as humans, we're not meant to do one thing 24/7, 365. And, you know, you have to have variety. You have to have downtime. You have to, you know, give yourself time to just do nothing and relax. And that's when you get re-inspired and you become more creative and you can, you know, add even more to your craft than continually doing the grind all the time.
Yep. And this summer, specifically, Diane, this summer of 2016 is all about those loving boundaries. And people may be, I don't know when they're going to hear the interview, but we're doing this, you know, you and I are talking July 2016, and it's just begun that the universe is saying, set those loving boundaries so there's more of you to, more of you individually to give those gifts, to heal, to help people that are going to be becoming more awake and more aware. You guys have been in the trenches for years now. More people are going to be coming and they're going to look to you for help. You've got to set those boundaries so there's more of you to offer that help and that support. And so they are just coming down really clear about do it. Just do it. And the people who love you, they'll get it. And it's okay. So, yeah, very important right now.
Awesome.
Very important.
Thanks.
And I imagine that theme is going to continue.
Yeah.
That's the summer of 2016.
Yep. Cool. So before we finish, I just want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about any events that you have coming up, and I'm sure that people will want to know how they can connect with you via your website or social media sites or email. So go ahead and let us know anything that you want about that.
Okay. I am in a recreating mode right now, as we talked about, but you can definitely reach me at thelindagay.com. And I do have a monthly series at my office on the third Wednesday of every month, but that's also on the website. The most, the biggest event that's coming up, and there'll be much more in the beginning of 2017. I'm going to start teaching and offering things, but again, those will all be on that website. But I am offering a Sedona a la carte menu from September 14th through 18th, 2016, and that's where you can literally come and get a taste of Sedona for a day or 5 days, and you basically pick things off a menu. So you can go on a group hike, or you can go on a hike with me and the universe, and I'll take you into vortexes. But it's a very flexible schedule for how you want it, and we have body work and things like that. So that's a major event that's coming up in September. But other than that, go on the website, and I've got a lot of other cool things coming up that I just can't quite send out there yet until they're ready. But
okay.
Everything
will be referenced on that website. I'm sure people will be going there frequently to check that out for sure. Awesome. Yeah, and you do the trips to Sedona regularly, so, you know.
I do, and one of the things we're opening up is we're just working on opening up to Ireland. I really, 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 part of my past is getting people just out in the world. I think, Diane, you know this. You're part of that. This world is magnificent. And when you meet, when someone, you collectively I'm talking to, when you go to a part of the world that is part of your cellular structure or soul memory, and you visit that part of the world, something awakens inside you that you can't quite describe. And I've had many, many experiences of this around the planet, Hawaii and Pacific Northwest and Ireland and England, and Sedona was the one that said, you have to bring people here to awaken that. And so now we're working on Ireland. So that's going to be a little bit down the road because we're just starting to do that. But that's a big part of just sharing this amazing planet with people.
Awesome.
So, yeah, stay tuned. And I am on Facebook. I'm working that out.
Okay.
But
you're
in the Energy Intuitive. You can go on and keep me on there as well.
Awesome. That's great. Well, this has been a great call. Thank you so much for...
Thank you so much.
...being on the call today. We're excited about the book. It's going to be coming out this fall. We'll keep everybody posted on that. And in the meantime, hope you enjoy these teleconferences, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Diane.